Hi everyone, and welcome to Sleep Deprivation the Podcast, episode 353. My name's Jack, as always joined by Casey.
Yo.
Quite tired.
I am tired. I'm not as tired as you.
Now, work. It's sometimes you have a pattern of shifts that aren't great, and you really want to kill whoever made the rota. Unfortunately, I made the rota because everyone else had this last week, so it was my turn. So I can't even get mad at someone because it's completely my own fault. But tiredness aside, all good. How are you, mate?
Yeah, not too bad.
We'll quickly talk about the FA Cup game because it's been one of them where we're back end at week. This should be fixed next week. It should be early in the week, which will help. But 3-0 win over Norwich. We did sort of say it might be the exact right time for an FA Cup game. And it sort of seems like it was. It was a very comfortable win, which is the exact sort of match it felt like we needed.
Yeah, I've only seen the extended highlights of this due to double booking myself on a works thing.
It says a lot about how tired I am, but I forgot then that you weren't at the game with us.
Yeah, that was not me. yeah.
In fairness, you and my niece.
A spitting image of each
spit
other.
Of each other.
yeah. From what I looked, I mean, when I saw the team go out, one, I think live score had a bit of a freak out. Because essentially, from what the bits I've seen, did we play a 4-2-3-1?
Yeah, basically. It was slightly more. There was a little bit more movement than that. But because when I saw the team, I put on our Twitter straight away, oh, that's four at the back. I'm just not sure whether he's going to play Bornau or Ampadu at right back. It was Bornau. But then, like, Graham Smith tweeted out, oh, it's expecting Goodmanson left centre-back and James and Nonto as the wing-backs. And everyone got worried because you were like, well, I can't rule it out.
I mean, he's done it with Nonto in the last couple of rounds. But for the life of me, it was one of those that the more I thought about it, it was like, look, you've got these players that haven't played, and from us trying to put the team together in terms of the back, you know, either a back five, you were having to play players that probably didn't need to. I mean, Goodmanson played anyway, and he plays every game.
Yeah. He got a rest. He came off in, I don't know, the 86th minute or something.
But it made the most sense. To say, we are playing a lower end to middling championship team.
Yeah.
Why don't we just play the 4-2-3-1 that you know and love, Daniel, and just let them play?
Yeah. And to be fair, like, I'm not going to say that we were brilliant or anything. We had 20 good minutes, sort of second half of the first half. And in that, we won the game. We were better the whole way through. They had a little bit of a spell start of the second half where they got hold of the ball a bit, but they didn't create anything. But that 20 minutes where we actually got going, you know, scored two, had two disallowed, a couple of other chances. For that 20 minutes, there was a big gulf between the teams. But the big standout was Goodmanson. And it's not just because, you know, everyone's been saying he gets into such good positions and is a bit wasteful. Not only gets his first assist, gets his first goal. But he was just all around really good in this game. He stood out miles.
Yeah, it's one of those things that when you heard both of those stats, I mean, Fulham aside, obviously, as the joke answer, it is quite hard to believe that he's not got an assist as a fullback who likes to get forward.
Yeah.
But I then started thinking kind of in terms of like Calvert-Lewin's goals, and the majority of those, as best I can remember, come from the right.
Definitely the majority. Well, I said it to my dad just after we were going, that's a great finish from Longstaff, because it was. It's a really good finish. It's a brilliant first touch to like put it into that position. But when he did it, I went, oh, and Goodmanson's finally got his first assist. And his reaction was, what, he hasn't got one yet? Because it feels like he's been good and he's been playing left back.
Yeah.
You just assume he'd have a couple.
Yeah, Junior Firpo had loads by this point in the championship.
I'd say he had about 15 goal involvements by now, didn't he? And he was just about to hit his hot streak. But no, Goodmanson was excellent. my first, it's a small Daniel fact that I would have subbed him at half time. And I said this in the ground. As soon as we went 2-0, I went, cool, get him off.
Yeah, I mean, there is part of me wonders if there was any intention for that. But, I mean, what was it? The Beal had been ill. Not Beal, sorry, but Bonnau had been ill. So yeah. That's why he came off at halftime. So I wonder if that would have been a possibility. But again, there's a decent
chance of that, to be fair.
I mean, like I say, he just plays a lot anyway. And backup left backs be damned, he's going to play. But yeah, as I look at the team here, it was just quite nice seeing. I would have preferred Tanaka to get a full game, but, you know, Longstaff gets a decent run out again. Nonto and James get the run out. Peru being back in because he didn't start the Birmingham game.
No. Peru was, well, he was playing against a championship team and he went back into that. He was sometimes a little bit anonymous, but every time he got on the ball, he looked good. And it was a really, really nice finish for his goal as well.
It was a textbook Joel Piru goal, was that, wasn't it?
Yeah. He's still got that. Like, him in that position, I would still, over anyone in our squad, that type of situation, I'd take him over any of them. It's just a lot of other things where you wouldn't.
Yeah. In terms of the goals, one, great for Gabby to get his goal. Longstaff is a lovely finish. And the third is an excellent breakaway from Stack. Yeah. And he's got the options left and right and just slips it lovely through for Peru.
He gives it Mecha gives it Peru.
Yeah, sorry, that's...
Yeah. Which, to be honest, that's actually an important one to talk about, because I thought Mecha, you know, I don't think he's as good as Calhoun, but he did pretty well. And it's sort of easing me a bit, because the two bits of team news out of the press conference are, because have you seen Okafor's been training?
Yes.
But it sounds like this one's coming way too early. He might sneak on the bench, maybe. But Calvert-Lewin is struggling with his knee. The way that they were talking to the press conference made it sound like he'll probably be okay, but you never know. I thought the way Mecha played makes me a bit less worried about if Calvert-Lewin... I'm not basically worried about if he misses a game. I'd be worried if he was missing a couple of months. But missing a game doesn't panic me as much as it did before.
Yeah, I mean, I'd say it's one of those that feels a bit unfortunate timing-wise. Because we're also, what is it, two games and then international break, I think, as well.
Which, yeah, because it's, two league games, international break, then FA Cup.
Yeah, so it's one of those where there's part of you, I'd sort of, because they're games that are winnable as well. If there's the possibility to get him through it, but like you say, I suppose that the issue with that is if he gets injured in this and he's out for 6 weeks.
Yeah, I say I'm hoping he's fit to play, and it definitely would help. But yeah, it was just a comfortable win. I thought Tanaka was pretty decent in middle, as was Longstaff. James and Nonto weren't quite as good as once. I liked Nonto's performance more than Dan James's. Which surprised me going in, but I thought that he just looked to offer a little bit more. And I wonder if that'll come in handy, because I really do think that one of them should come in for this game. But we'll get to it shortly. Our reward for a comfortable win is West Ham away, which, if it was at home, you'd say is a nice draw. Away is a bit tougher. I mean, it says a lot. There's eight teams left in the FA Cup, six of them in the Premier League, and we're the sixth favourites for the FA Cup.
I think one, that tells you the form that West Ham are in at the moment.
Yeah.
To the fact it's at West Ham. Mm.
It should be a hell of an allocation. We should get like nine and a bit thousand, shouldn't we?
Yeah, it's on Easter.
I'm not going.
on Easter Sunday, when I'm sure there's a wonderful train service running.
Yeah.
Because again, what, you know, if we've not sent Leeds out on a bizarre London FA Cup trip on a Monday night, you're on a bank holiday weekend. Yeah.
It might have been the square ball that came out yesterday, which I listened to today while I was working, so I half listened to, if I'm being honest. I think they mentioned it, but and they were saying before now, it's gonna be Sunday because a load of teams have got probable European games after it, so they'll have to play the Saturday.
They don't have to.
Yeah, they were always going to do it that. So yeah, it's a winnable tie. So, you know, hopefully we get a couple of good results before it that allow us to put out a proper side. Because I always said if you get to the quarterfinals, you have to start taking it seriously, and this is the quarterfinal. So I want a full side out for this game.
I think I end up in this zero-sum game in my head about this game, because if you win, it's like, ah, yeah, but it's the FA Cup. When, you know, if it comes down to anything on the last game of the season, it'll be totally different. West Ham, you know, they might have rested a few players. If we lose, oh shit, we've lost to West Ham. We're definitely going down. Yeah,
we're definitely going to lose on the last day of the season. It better not come down to that.
Yeah, if we draw, oh, we're going to be knackered for when we play Man U the next week.
Yeah.
So
that would be the worst. Don't draw and lose on penalties. Like, yeah. Don't. If you're going to play 120 minutes, at least go through.
What I'm saying is, I think we should respectfully bow out of the FA Cup at this point. I think we should just say, you know what? We've done well. Let them have it.
Are you going with that? And this is by no means an original thought. I've seen 20 different people say it. Pick Byron, Johnny House, and just go out and go, right, you know all of their best players?
Kill them.
Kick the fuck out of them.
Just three of you are going to man-mark Crescencio Somerville, and you're going to side him down every time.
He's already out injured. He's got a calf problem. Yeah, he got injured against Brentford. He stayed on, but only because they'd already used all the subs.
Hmm.
But I mean, I don't think he took one of their penalties, which there was two things. One, don't go to penalties against West Ham. It's 1990s Germany. honestly, as good a penalty set of penalties as you'll ever see. But Somerville didn't take one, and he definitely would have put his hand up.
I'm surprised he didn't push someone out of the way to take one.
Yeah, so I think he must have been properly injured. It sounds like he's out for a couple of games at least. I mean,
I'm not against it.
No, I was hoping it'd be longer. And as we know, I'm president of his fan club. But no, that was it's a real chance. Hopefully we can get something out of it. Say, Okafor training, but I wouldn't expect him to play this one. Calvert-Lewin struggling with his knee, but everyone else is supposedly fit. So Palace away on Sunday at 2 o'clock. I mean, we beat them 4-1 at Elland Road. Happy birthday to me.
Yep.
We were miles the better team. This was when they weren't in great. I mean, they're not in great nick now, but they were in worse nick then. But in terms, it's quite a good apples to apples comparison, because although some of the players have changed, they have not changed how they play.
No.
They're still a 3-4-3/3-4-2-1, depending on who's playing off the striker. You know, certain players are more like wide 10s, certain players are more like wingers, but it's basically the same thing. They don't press particularly hard, although they will do a bit more because they're at home. They'll want to get into it. You know, they're quite good in possession, especially in middle of midfield. Adam Wharton's a great player. But we basically bullied them at Elland Road. And hopefully we can do the same again, because our style hasn't really changed since then. I was looking at the team and go through theirs first. Like, it was Henderson in goal there, it'll be Henderson. Their back three was Richards, Lacroix and Mark Gaye. This will be a Henderson, Richards, Lacroix, and then one of Maxime Canvo or Chaddy Riad. Probably Canvo.
Yeah.
So you would argue that's slightly weaker at the back.
Yeah.
It was Klein and Mitchell at wing backs, Ellen Road. It probably will be again because I think Munoz has started training again, but he's not expected to be fit for this one. So that's probably the same. Will Hughes and Adam Wharton in middle of midfield, Ellen Road? It'll probably be the same. Could be, it'll definitely be Wharton. It could be Kamada or Jefferson Lerma. And then up top is where there is a difference because they had a few injuries. They had Mateta up top with Jeremy Pino and Eddie Nketiah as the tens. And Nketiah was awful because that's not his position at all. Whereas for this, it's likely Jürgen Strand Larsen with Ismail Assar, who's playing really well, and then one of Brennan Johnson or Evan Gesand. Probably Gesand, given recent form. Mateta to come off the bench because he got booed on, which is always fun. But he came on in Europe in their 0-0 draw with AEK Larnaca at home. They'll probably still get through the second leg, but that's a bad result.
Yeah, and they put out pretty much the first team for that one as well. So as you look at it, Google has it down as Brennan Johnson as a right wing back, with Saar and Gesand either side of Strand Larsen.
I would be surprised if they weren't that aggressive. I think it'll be Klein.
Yeah. And then Kamada started in the middle next to Wharton. Yeah, so it's the hope is that you can take advantage of the fact that their first team has played a midweek game, whereas we've had that full week's break.
Yeah.
To a point again, a point away in London is probably a good result, but. Yeah. If you're going to beat them, this is a decent time to do it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we need, as good as some of these performances have been away from home, we do need to convert a couple of them. Because I can't remember what the stat was. I mentioned it a couple of weeks ago on the podcast, but that Daniel Farke has won like 4 away games out of 61 in the Premier League and Bundesliga.
Yeah.
Like it needs some conversion, especially this weekend. Because like it's a chance to just visually met the table a lot better. Burnley are playing Bournemouth. I'm still not worrying about Burnley too much, but they could close it up. But West Ham are against Man City. They are at home, but you'd think that's one that they'll probably get beat. Spurs are away at Liverpool. Given current form, they should lose that. But Forest are at home to Fulham, and I fancy them to win that. Fulham are even more unpredictable. They can't get up for games that aren't the big games. Look at them getting beat by Southampton in FA Cup. Although that, by the way, just to get up, if I was a Fulham fan, I'd be fucking furious. They're not going to do well in the league. They're not going to go down. They're not going to get into Europe. There's nothing. And he made like 9 changes.
Yeah.
And part of a second, that should be their priority. Try and win it. Try and do what Palace did last season. I mean, I know he's probably off at the end of the season anyway, Marco Silva, but like they must have been furious with him. But the other thing is with their team, obviously, we matched up against them really well. But I do think a big part of that was they had very little up front because of that poorer front three. And this will be stronger. So I really want us to go back to what I think is our best back three and the one that we played that night, go back to Road and Bjelstrauk.
I think so as well. I think overall, while Justin has been a positive, I think for this stage of the season now, I think I do probably just want the three best centre backs in there, and
especially away,
and especially when one of your strikers is Jørgen Strand Larsen, who is just big.
Yeah. And the other option is Mateta, who...
Yeah.
Similar. I've got our team up from that game. It was Perry in goal. I don't... It'll be Darlow. Roden, Biel and Strouk, which is what I want, Bogle and Goodmanson, wing-backs, fair enough. And it was sort of Okafor and Aronson off Calvert-Lewin with Stack and Ampadu in midfield. And I basically, if I would basically pick that exact team if I could, but I don't think Okafor's going to be fit. So it's...
Nonto.
Based on what I saw in the FA Cup game, I'd go Nonto over James. And that way as well, Aronson can stay on the right, which he's better at.
I mean, I was kind of thinking...
And you get the Aronson work rate against Tyrick Mitchell going the other way, which... Because, like, Nonto, I know he can't tackle. He works plenty. But if he's up against Klein, he'll be fine to get back, I think.
Yeah.
And then you get Aronson against Mitchell, which I think is a better matchup.
I mean, and this may not actually pass any statistics. To the eye, since we've started playing Aronson as the in-possession second striker, out-of-possession left winger, Calvert-Lewin's chances have dropped these last few weeks.
Yeah. My theory is that that's not really... I mean, it is because Aronson that's been playing there, but I think it's been... Even though he's very hit and miss, I think that's been a lack of Okafor rather than what Aronson's doing.
It's not so much down to Aronson. It's the... Essentially, this weird system where we've only sort of had one player attacking down the left, but you've had two down the right-hand side.
Yeah,
but I don't. I think in terms of chance creation, I don't think it's worked I think generally it's a system that has kept us in games. Mm. But I think in terms of creating chances for your centre forward, I think that has dropped off.
Yeah,
and I know I mentioned earlier that it feels like most of Calvert-Lewin's goals come from the final ball comes from the right hand side, but. Yeah, it just feels like we've been in less of those positions to get the balls into Calvert-Lewin, other than the periods of games where it's 10 men behind the ball and we are forced to go out wide.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't feel like we have a lot of actual build-up play down the wings as we were, 8 weeks ago?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Hoping that we see a little bit more aggression. We've been too conservative for me these last few games.
Yeah, and I think the thing, like the Aronson thing, obviously was dropped. Seems to have done him some good, and he got back into form afterwards. But I think there's then been a bit of a Farc reliance on, well, he's my pressing player, so that's why we keep him in this role. Mm. But I think a lot of that also, and again, none of this is to detract from Aronson's performances in recent weeks. I think he's been, at the very worst, I think he's been fine. Mm. But I think his performance against Newcastle, maybe in Farker's eyes, has made him more important than he actually needs to be in that team.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, having said this, I fully expect it to be Ampadu and Gruev. And then, you know, Stack and Aronson off whichever, hopefully Calvert-Lewin, but maybe Metcher.
It does frustrate me a bit because I think the best we saw of Stack was out of possession. He's fantastic closing down from teams that played out from the back. He was fantastic at pressing down that left-hand side. But I just don't think it suits his general game. I think he is better in possession when he's coming from a bit deeper. And I know he's not an out-and-out right midfielder in that team, but there is part of me wants to get back to having actual wingers again.
Yeah, I still think, like, gun to my head, Ampadu and Stack is the best midfield partnership. Now, I can absolutely make an argument for Longstaff staying in ahead of Gruev, if he wants to keep stacking that kind of pressing role.
I feel like this is a game where...
I mean, I like Tanaka, but I don't see that happening.
No, but I do think this should be a game where you look at and say, well, if like the Sunderland game, and I know this is easy to pick on any number of people. The Sunderland game was the worst. If Ilya Gruev gets the ball, goes backwards.
Yeah. It was a completely wrong team selection and wrong way of playing. It was a perfect storm of shite, that.
Yeah.
It was bad in every way. From us, from them, from the game of football itself.
But I do think you're getting to that stage of the season now where you sort of have to jettison a bit of loyalty and say, look, what is the best team I can put out on that pitch right now? The Longstaff one, obviously, is a difficult one because I don't think before his injury he was in great form anyway. Mm. And then decent appearance Sunday, but his sub appearances have not done a lot. And he's not been given a whole lot of time to do anything either. So I know there is that question still over who plays next to Ampadu. There is a part of me that just looks and thinks, for me, Stack should be in the middle.
Yeah. No, I'm saying I think that that's the best pairing. I don't think that's what he's going to pick, but I think that that's what he should pick. The other argument is, if Calvert-Lewin's fit, that you play Metcher nominally off the left. But I can't see us going full 3-5-2 and just going direct. And I think that's the only time that you should do that. And especially if Calvert-Lewin is carrying a knock, you either want to start Metcher or have him there to replace Calvert-Lewin. I don't think that you want to risk them both for this one. So even though we've said all that, so what, like, Justin still stays in, Gruev still stays in.
I
actually... Buonanotte stays in Leeds. Also,
how
did he not get on against Norwich?
That
was actually, I would go as far as that, unless he's been a complete prick in training all week, I would go as far as to say Daniel Farke was being a bit of a dick there.
yeah, you didn't really have another striker on the bench. I've mentioned before that obviously if you're throwing on first teamers when you're 3-0 up in that situation and one of them gets injured, I could argue that I don't think Daniel Farke should be shot, but I do think he should be hit by like something quite firm in the head. Like if Stack came on in that game and got injured, really fucking stupid situation.
Everyone would have been absolutely furious, wouldn't they? Like, now, as it goes, he came on and had quite a nice 15 minutes and he didn't actually get the assist, but sort of set up a goal with a good breakthrough midfield.
Yeah, but you've got Buonanotte.
I was amazed. Doesn't
have a Castle Hills chance in playing in the league at this point, to the extent where has he played for a second team that I've forgotten? No. He's not allowed to play in the Premier League.
I didn't watch the game, but the 21s got beat 5-2 by Sunderland the other day. And I put on our Twitter, like, why isn't Buonanotte playing in this? Give him some minutes to try and just get himself, because he's a really talented footballer. But we'll never know.
Would someone play this man somewhere, please?
Yeah.
I think he will go. I think Bial comes in for this one.
Yeah.
I think a lot.
He was good against Norwich. He wasn't tested particularly hard, but he was good.
Yeah, and I do think, like you say, I think you mentioned has been a little bit passive in ways as well, and I do think having a big lad back in the team will help. And we're also getting to that time now where I don't give a shit how a goal goes in. If the big lad can stick his head on a corner, get him in the team, you know, as good as Justin has been, I kind of want the aerial threat at this point. So I do think he'll go to that back three again.
Yeah. Well, I'd say that's the one that I think actually will happen. As much as Jürgen said, so Justin. So if one of them is going to happen, that's the one I think it'll be.
Byram at left back.
we'll see. The predictions, little let me just check. Little Danny takes a fairly big lead because he had 3-0. Connie also had 3-0, but that just catches him up to level with you, Casey. Yeah, so it's all come up. But the predictions are quite confident. Alex has us losing 3-1.
That's a confident start.
But Connie, Benny and Danny all have a 2-1 win. Oof. I'm going to tell you now, I don't. I've got Leeds losing this 2-1.
I'm going to say 1-1 draw.
Yeah. Well, that like a 1-1 draw, I have to say now, it's a good result if we get it. If we get a draw, that is a good result. How good a result it is depends entirely what happens elsewhere.
Yeah, if one of the teams beneath us loses.
I mean, if they all could lose.
If they would all lose, it's great.
It's a great point.
But I mean, like, if Spurs lose and we gain an extra point on them, great. Because what would that put us 4 points ahead of them at that point?
We are currently 3 points ahead of West Ham and Forest and 2 points ahead of Spurs.
So if you can maintain a 3 point gap over one of those teams.
Yeah. Just over the bottom three brackets general.
Yeah. You know, that would be great. I mean, I've started listening to The Athletic podcast a bit more recently.
And the Tifo one or The Athletic one?
The Athletic one.
Right.
So there was an episode last week of financially what happens to Spurs if they go down. And then there was a podcast again this week that went, no, they might actually go down though.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm not kidding. I think that they get well beat by Liverpool and sack Igor Tudor.
I hope they don't do that.
No,
the second
like,
part.
That's what I think is good. I if things go as I expect, I think Igor Tudor's out of the job by midday on Monday.
Hmm.
To be replaced by probably Sean Dyche.
There's been a lot of talk of needing someone who knows the club. So Frank Lampard, he knows clubs.
if they go that route, I mean Redknapp would take it, but surely even he's too old.
Defoe and Keane joint managers.
I know he's just been sacked from a team struggling in the Championship, but Ryan Mason. It's usually Ryan Mason.
It's a shame they can't get share Michael Carrick.
Yeah.
Just so he commutes between the two.
Well, I'll tell you, I think it'll actually be Pochettino because I don't think they're going to go down. I think that they just have enough good players that they'll get away with it. And I think they'll get Pochettino after the World Cup. But if Man United don't hire Michael Carrick, Spurs probably will.
I tell you the thought that popped into my head of these are people who, one, I don't think they have a clue what they're doing running this football club. But two, I think at this point they're going to want to look for a motivator. And I think there is a man who has got, I think he's got 8 weeks available till his summer job kicks in. If Jesse Marsh rocked up at Spurs as a, don't worry, guys, I'm going to bring everyone together.
What, to do with Michael O'Neill? Because he's still Northern Ireland manager.
Yeah. Like, just pop in, like, just till the end of the season, he will allegedly bring people together. And I, for one, welcome our American overlord.
Yeah, as I say, having said, because we've said all that, they'll end up fucking winning now. But yeah,
they do win big games, don't they?
They do get the odd weird result. But I can't see it under Tudor. They all seem to visibly hate him. Like, I have zero issue with him subbing Kingsley after 17 minutes when he was having that much of a nightmare.
Mm.
But like, not even looking at him, not putting your arm around him, out like that. No, that's awful management.
I mean, it's a fucking ballsy strategy to play a goalkeeper that, what was it? He'd not played since the League Cup, and they got knocked out the League Cup in October.
Yeah, he hadn't played much at all. It was a bad
week. And they didn't play. like didn't play him in the league game before, just as a, you know, we'll get you in shape before we play Atletico Madrid.
Did you hear any of the propaganda?
No, I haven't. I haven't had a chance yet.
Michael Norman got together a load of clips from before that game, like, and from the previous games, and it was them going, Vicario's been awful, he's going to have to get dropped. So it wasn't out of nowhere, to be fair. It was a bad week to do it, because like Chelsea did it with Jorgensen, and he like passed one straight to a forward, didn't he?
Yeah.
But yeah, well, we'll see. But yeah, hopefully I'm wrong. Hopefully Alex is wrong. Hopefully we get some good result. Would be, I mean, if you can get a win, it would be absolutely massive. But that will do us for episode 353. I believe with work schedules, they're still crap next week, but I think that we do have some gap Monday and Tuesday, like, at some point. So we should be able to get one done fairly soon after the game.
Podcasts and hash browns, yeah.
Yeah. Well, it depends how it goes. If it goes badly, maybe just hash. We'll see. But,
just to you from two cloudy rooms.
Smell the wine, cheap perfume. Nearly the lyric. But yeah, that'll do us. I've been Jack, see ya.
McKay, see you. Have a good one.
In a bit.